Welcome to episode 12 of season 5, everyone. If you just joined, this is Maria, and I am at Maria the Arcane everywhere. And I'm joined by our supreme goddess, Robin, at A Tired Witch on Instagram and everywhere else. I don't know why I keep saying Insta. Damn it. Anyways.
It's because we have it on the script. That's why I've never erased it. Because I'm lazy. And you know what? I'm gonna leave it there because now everybody knows our dirty little secret.
Yes, parts of the show are scripted. Dun dun dun.
You guys are never gonna believe it.
Oh my gosh.
We got a whole running document, actually, guys. I would say that Maria and I might be one of the most organized groups of scripting that we've ever worked with.
Yeah.
Not to brag, but Maria and I are both very, a little ADD, and we need to have it written down, or it's not going to happen.
A little type A. It's fine.
Maria and I are both a little bit of control freaks, and everything has to be written down, or it's not going to happen. But that's what makes us so pretty.
Now, going back to the script. We do have a class this month, and if you guys want to join us, that is on August 31st at 12 p.m. PST for our class for Creative Writing with Mythology with Samantha Weisberg. And yes, yeah, I'm so looking forward to this class. It's going to be so good.
If you guys, a couple months ago, we had Samantha on for a episode on mythology misunderstandings, and she did a whole thing about Medusa that was incredible, and I think this is going to be just a really great class, and I'm very excited to have her.
Yeah, I mean, if you want to level up your like word witchery, taking creative writing classes is the way to go. So this is
definitely
a great class. Yeah,
absolutely. Also, if you guys listen to our Coffee Talk episodes, we do take listener submissions, as you know, for stories, witchy tips, witchy stories, etc. And so this season we started taking voicemails. So if you would like to leave us a voicemail, the phone number is 351-207-0799, or you can send us your story in a written format to submissions@coffeeandcauldrons.com, or head to our website, coffeeandcauldrons.com, and hit the submit forum. We're having a really chaotic start to this episode. We've pointed out the fact that we have a script, and now it's in my head, and I'm self-conscious about it. Oh my goodness. But if you'd like to send us your stories, we would love to have them. Either format is amazing for us because we are trying to cycle through both of them equally, so we would love to have them.
Yeah, I mean, and it is coming up on spooky season. We need some ghost stories, guys. We need some good ghost stories. Scare us.
We need ghost stories. Yes. Oh, and on Coffee Talk episodes, I forgot to add this to our script. On Coffee Talk episode nights, Maria and I have started streaming on Twitch, where we are doing currently Phasmophobia, but we are trying to do spooky games specifically as like a podcast thing, and you could just come and hang out with us all afternoon. So if you know you want to hang out with us after listening to Coffee Talk, or you're like, Coffee Talks are terrible, I don't listen to that, but I would like to hang out with them, we would love to see you there. So
yeah. And we even play games like individually sometimes, like Robin will play like Stardew Valley or something.
I started playing Fields of Mystria, and that is like a Stardew Valley
game. It looks so good.
It is insanely good. I don't want to get too off topic here in the intro, but it's insanely good. You would love it. If you've just joined us this week, every week we talk about upcoming lunar phases and how you can utilize their astrological alignment. Look at me going off script. In your magical practice. These are just our ideas and our tips based off of our experience, but you don't have to use them. It's up to you. So if you're somebody who wants to use it, you can. That being said, the nearest one to when this date comes out is going to be the new moon in Virgo, which is on September 2nd, is when it moves on over to 1.1%. And the new moon in Virgo is, well, Virgos in general as utilizing them for them, utilizing it and the astrological placement for your magical practice is a really good time to focus on organization. Speaking of type A behavior, maybe you're somebody who needs to channel that into a project that you're working on. Virgo is really good for that. It's also really good for things like introspection, and kind of releasing energies that aren't serving you because you don't understand them, if that makes sense. It's like saying, you know, I don't understand why this is going on, like going on for me. Maybe it's bad luck. Maybe it's my own, you know, contribution, et cetera, et cetera. But it's a really good time to focus on releasing that kind of unknown energy. At least in my opinion. It's also a really good time to reflect on things. Where can we organize better in our life? This is, new moons in general are a good time for cleansing, but specifically the new moon in Virgo is a really good time for cleansing because they are so organized that maybe this is the time to go to your apothecary pantry, clean it out, label that stuff, organize it. Maybe wow. This is a good time.
Wow. Just calling me out. It's fine. Wow. So rude.
Excuse me. It's not me calling you out. It is the astrological forecast calling you out. So I think you need to have a word with yourself. Perhaps. Okay. I don't know.
Gosh, Mom. Fine.
If you are somebody who has not cleaned your altar in a long time, this is the time to do it. Get your altar clean. All new moons are good for this, but specifically Virgo new moons are very good for organizing. Clean it. Realign, you know, any kind of cardinal points that you have in your house, any kind of wards that you have in your house. Let's get that stuff organized. Let's self-reflect. Let's think about where we're dropping the ball and let's pick up where we need to. What do you think, Maria?
Yes to everything you said, but I would like to add that also Virgos are like, they're like lifetime students. They love to learn and like learn new things and explore new things. Once again, type A, but anyways, but so if there's anything that you've been wanting to learn, I think this new moon would be a great time to set like intentions for it. Maybe you want to learn more about tarot. Maybe you want to learn about, you know, how to make your magic more individualized for you. Whatever the case is, that would be like a great time to just set intentions and allow yourself to learn new things. And a great like a great plant to use, like if you want to learn something, in my opinion, is skullcap. I love skullcap.
That's really smart. Yeah. Rosemary is also really good for that because the rosemary helps you focus.
Mm-hmm. And, I also like Appetite, the crystal for learning too. Like those are my go-to for like learning spells. And
education.
Stuff like that. Yeah, that word.
So, if you've just joined us, every podcast episode not Coffee Talks, but we go
every
over
single one. We literally pointed out the fact that we have a script and neither one of us can stick to it now. We're both just so hyper aware of it.
Well, in my defense, there is no script for this. I'm just free balling it. There we go.
Oh, yeah. All right. Touche. But it's not a script, but it is the same thing we've both said every single time, just like with the moon.
Exactly. But yeah, so every episode we talk about like tarot cards, like earlier seasons, we've gone over individual meanings of cards. We've gone over the whole sections of tarot, like the major arcana, minor arcana, aces, through all the way to the kings. But this season, we're concentrating on themes that we see in tarot, and we're discussing a particular theme and what cards match that theme. So the theme I chose this month is you are kind of being a twat. It's when the cards are calling you out for being, being kind of like a poop head. You're being mean to other people and you are not being kind. And maybe it's time for some self-reflection. Yeah. Now, obviously, like when these cards
Maria told me that this was what our focus was this week. And I feel like she's trying to tell me something and I don't like it.
No. If I'm telling anyone this, this is me talking to my body. It's like, you're being kind of mean to me. Leave me alone. I know we have a chronic illness, but it's just kind of.
Let's be kind.
But yeah, like when you're pulling cards for this sort of thing, it definitely takes a bunch of self-reflection, because if you're pulling these cards and you're like, no, I'm in the right, blah, blah, blah. Like these cards will just like, will be like, oh, well, that doesn't fit this. And then you would totally disregard it. But anyways, I digress. So the first card I chose is the Emperor. Now, in a negative position, this is like symbolizes someone who's super power hungry, wants to control everything, because the Emperor is the King of Kings. So he's controlling stuff emotionally, he's controlling stuff physically, like he's just a control freak. He just wants to be able to have like control over everything. So it makes him feel more powerful and, you know, all that noise. But so when you get this card, maybe it's time to kind of like let go of control. Delegate, allow people to, you know, do their own things for a little bit rather than trying to make it go the way that you want it to go to, because, you know, empires fall all the time and have fallen in the past. And the more like of a control freak you are, the angrier like the people and situations you are controlling are going to be. So it's just something to keep in mind if you are getting a little power hungry. Now, the next card is the Devil. Once again, this is definitely a controlling card, but I also see it as a huge manipulation card, and not only like manipulating other people, but it's also manipulating ourselves, like being unkind to ourselves and keeping us in a space where, you know, being very negative towards ourselves, thinking that we don't deserve anything better, and just being overall unkind and thinking that we can't overcome obstacles like addiction or overcome obstacles like, once again, control. And just feeling like you have to stay in this negative spot forever because that's all you feel that you are worth. But yeah. Next card is the King of Swords. Now, when this card comes up in a negative spot, it is someone who just, they think that they're being, you know, oh, I'm just honest. I'm just being honest, guys. And it's like for their betterment about being honest. I think they're such a good person for, you know, being very honest with people. But the thing is, honesty sometimes is just perceived by the person, and sometimes, you know, you're just being kind of rude and being kind of unkind, and you don't need to be like thinking you're highly knowledgeable about, you know, certain things and feel like you have to like talk over people or anything like that. But it's just kind of like reminding you to watch your words. And we don't build kingdoms by being unkind to other people and feeling like we are the one-stop shop for knowledge towards particular things. How about you? What are your three cards?
So my first one is the Two of Swords, specifically because in that card, we are so guarded that we are not allowing in any other kind of opinions or outside input, etc. And so sometimes it's a really good reminder that being guarded is, of course, valid, right? But to what extent, right? Sometimes we are the problem because we refuse to hear any sort of outside opinion, outside thoughts, etc. That is kind of like you were just saying about the King, is that you know, we are not a one-stop shop for correctness, and that includes hearing outside opinions, right? Obviously, we don't have to take their advice, even if it's given, but it is sometimes good to hear other perspectives and how our situation is being perceived or how we're being perceived in a scenario. The second one is the Knight of Wands. And as I've said a million times on this podcast, the knights are the bad boyfriends of the apocalypse. And this particular one asks us to reflect on our reasons for doing something. Are we doing something because, especially with other people, because of self-gratification? Are we doing it because we are kind of getting involved because we're lonely with somebody or something like that? This is a very sexual card, and oftentimes the Knight of Wands comes in as a easy come, easy go scenario. And when it is coming up in a position of self-reflection, are we treating other people as an easy come, easy go participants in that? Are they aware of the fact that this is easy come, easy go? And make sure we're kind of reflecting on how we engage with other people and if they're consenting and aware of the fact that this is something that we are perhaps coming in as quickly as we are leaving. And the last one I've got is the Five of Swords. This is a card of learning when to walk away from arguments. We don't have to be the most right about everything all the time. Are we having this conversation to level up? Are we having this conversation or argument because it in the big picture matters? Or are we just having the argument because we want to fight? Because we need to be right. And that's important. So these are all kind of, my choices are all kind of reflecting on the direct relationship we have with other people, right? I mean, yours are too, but in a, mm-hmm. in a different way.
Okay, so today we are joined by a guest, and we are going to be talking about misinformation and mishaps, and we're joined by the amazing Elwyn. Like, I love your Instagram. It's amazing. Can you tell us a little bit about how you got started in witchcraft and where your practice is today?
Certainly. It was my aunts. Both my aunts were witches. And they raised me from a baby. And so it was something I kind of grew up with. And they were working witches, readings, healing, spell work, and tinctures and oils. Those are the things that they did. And so it was something that I was born into, and then I tried very hard to get away from when I became a teenager, because I wanted to see what it was like just to be a normal kid. Then came... No matter how hard I tried, I came back to it like an elastic band, to be honest, until eventually in adult life I accepted it, and everything kind of fell into place the moment I did, to be honest with you.
That's really sweet.
Yeah, it took me moving to America for it to happen, but it did eventually. But my craft is... along the lines of traditional Cornish witchcraft, although the concept of traditional witchcraft is a rather non-existent thing anyway, obviously.
Yeah, it's a convoluted.
It's very convoluted, yeah. But folk craft, shall we say, yeah.
Sure, yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
It is, it's funny when we, it's not often that we have, that we get to talk to people who kind of grew up in the craft in a working manner. I think a lot of people like to say that they grew up in the craft because folk magic is something that becomes almost normalized for a lot of people growing up, that they view it as superstition or similar. They don't really see the overlaps in the two. And yeah. So it's not often we get to talk to people who grew up with working witches as parental figures.
It's one of those things that I didn't know any different until I was older, and then I realized how different some things were. Our front room was also the waiting room. That was one of the main things. It was the funniest thing. You're sitting there as a kid. I was like 6 years old. And someone knocks on the door and you just go and answer it and go, come in. Don't know who they are. Come in. And they look bewildered. There's a child there telling me to come in. I'm like, all right. And I sit down and would you like a drink? And they're like, tea? And like, all right. And you go and make a cup of tea at 6 years old. You're like, there you go. Someone will be along in a minute. And then you just sit down next to them and continue doing what you're doing. And you get used to these people just coming and going. That's and so things like that, I think that's, you know, I look back on and I can now understand how odd that would be for people to have that, you know, that going on in their house. But that was also the word of mouth thing was a big thing for my aunt. So it was always like people just told other people. And there were always people, every day people would be coming for readings or whatever. And nowadays it's not like that. You know, it's not the same. And as both my aunts eventually retired from working in witchcraft as they got old, it became apparent that, you know, occasionally the phone would ring and someone would want something. And it's people from years ago. But that was it. And so I thought, well, the one thing my aunts always told me was don't tell people what we do. We don't talk about that to people. And I'm not good with technology. I'm terrible with technology. I came to social media incredibly, incredibly late. I'm talking like 5 years ago, kind of late. And I discovered, oh, wait, people are doing witchcraft. People are talking about witchcraft. And so immediately I was like, well, maybe I should talk about witchcraft. And everything in me said that I shouldn't because I was always raised that we don't talk about it. So I decided that I'm going to. And when my aunt, she passed now, but when my aunt saw what I did and how I managed to keep that going through social media, she was like, you're right. That's what we need to do. I was like,
love that. It's funny because I wasn't raised with witches, working witches like that at all, but social media in the last like sub decade has completely changed how we talk about these things, because you used to not talk about it at all. Even when I was a teenager, you did not talk about it, and you would use your fake. If you did talk about it, it was in like forums and it was like a fake name. You never showed your face, nothing. It was completely anonymous. And now here we all are just being like, hello. Let's talk about the dead.
I like how you live the whole practical magic life for a little bit.
People coming in. Very much like that. They genuinely like you could have ice cream for breakfast sort of thing. I think though I was like the child that neither of them ever had. My great aunt. This is how it works in my family as well. My great aunt adopted my aunt. And when I call her my aunt, she wasn't actually my aunt. She was my second cousin. However, she adopted her mother died when she was very young. She adopted her when she was about 18 years old. So they were both much older than I was anyway. But then they adopted me. And throughout the generations, one family member takes in another family member, which holds what my aunt would call promise in the way of how we do it. And so there was three generations living, and it's a bit different now, although I've got three daughters and one of them takes a huge interest in what I do. She sits there and watches me do readings. And she sits there just looking at the desk like this. And that's exactly what I used to do. So it's quite funny.
My 3-year old calls my tarot cards kettle cars. And it's really cute. I want to get him his own deck. He's very interested.
I don't know if I've got it here actually. I've got a deck for, it's a kid's deck. of cards.
Is it complete?
It is. It is a complete deck of cards.
Oh, you'll have to send that to me later because I am very interested in getting one.
And they also do, there's one that's really small deck of cards. It's like the reverse of the Rider-Waite one. So it's like from the other perspective. So instead of like, instead of the chariot, you're at the perspective of behind the chariot looking at what it's going towards. It's very odd. But the cards
that's
are tiny.
Interesting.
Yeah, they're really good.
You'll have to send me those. I'm very interested in that. All right, let's get back on topic.
All right, yes.
So we brought you on today to talk about being on the internet, obviously, and misinformation that kind of comes around with being on the internet, and how we kind of keep a cheery disposition despite it. Oh my goodness. as much as one can.
Yeah.
What is, in your opinion, some information or misinformation that keeps getting brought up or you see get brought up often that you feel like we've got to talk about this?
Oh, there's one that everyone knows that I can't stand. It does annoy me. And it's when people say there's no devil in the craft. That from a folk perspective, that annoys the crap out of me. Really does. Because my craft, for whatever word you want to call him, is very much centered around the devil. Like, company's called the...
As is most Cornish traditional witchcraft, right?
Yeah, exactly. And it's, he's regarded as the father of witches. Saying, he's not in witchcraft. I mean, he has many different names, obviously. But it's this kind of complete removal, like, oh, that's scary. Let's get rid of that. And it annoys me that there is this sense of let's remove anything that's scary from witchcraft. Then you haven't got anything that resembles witchcraft left if you remove everything scary from it, because it's a journey of exploration. You have to fuck up so that you learn how to fix it. And so if you just wrap everything in bubble wrap and take all the nasty bits out so that you can't fuck up, you don't learn anything. And that's one of the things that it annoys the shit out of me, to be honest with you. This people can be so adamant about it as well. Like, no, there's not. Because something about them... They don't, I'm not saying you have to say the devil or you have to say, but it's just anything really that is considered to be risky or a grey area, shall we say, and also the rule of three. The rule of three annoys me as well, primarily because it's just the whole Wiccan thing, but people immediately apply it to everything because that's what they know. I was like, the rule of three. That drives me mad. Absolutely.
And also considering the fact that if Wicca had a doctrine, not that I'm saying it does, the rule of three doesn't exist within that. It was a poem that has been run with. And I think that people lack that nuance sometimes,
Yeah. It's the same as karma. The concept of karma is the strangest thing to me is that you have, thousands of years of Eastern mysticism and practice and the amount of development and research that goes into that. Meanwhile, we hadn't even had the Industrial Revolution. And then Westerners come along, they kind of skin that bit off the top and be like, karma, okay, so it's like an eye for an eye. Yeah, that's it. Okay, great, we'll run with that. And just add a little bit of Schadenfreude in there for when anytime something bad happens to a bad person, ha ha, karma. That's it. And it just gets bandied around a lot. One of the things about said cerebral though is recently I kind of skim through a lot of my comments on things because if you look at all your comments, you you eventually like, oh, so if anyone has a genuine question or something like that, I'm like, sure. And someone asked a question about a spell I was doing. And they said, it's for opening roads and doing this. And this other person said this. Said, what is this? What is the meaning of this spell? And this person went, it's for opening roads, doing this and doing that. And I went in and went, no, it's not. That's not it at all. Why are you answering this person about my own spell? You know,
I will say the commenters that tried to help with that sort of thing, bless them, because they are trying to be helpful, but also... But also, maybe let's just leave it to the creators to answer that. And if they don't answer the question, maybe because they don't want it answered, maybe they didn't see the question.
Yeah.
But that isn't for you to jump in, even though you have good intention. That does not mean that your actions are actually hitting the mark.
It's I mean, it's like there's some things that we can all look at and we agree, like, that's what that is. I think this particular thing was very specifically catered to it. It wasn't a kind of just a very generalized spell. It was a very specific thing I was doing. And so it was just weird that they thought, I think there was the, I don't know, maybe it was something to do with what was going on in their own life, perhaps. And that's why. I don't know. Very odd, though. It was very strange.
Yeah. And I really feel like going back to where you're talking about, like, the threefold law and all that. And I feel like even now between, I don't know, when Robin, you and I joined social media, like, well,
1 million years ago.
You know, there's a huge uptick in the love and light, like, sort of witchcraft where they all concentrated on that. And I think it just keeps, like, renewing itself.
New ageism.
It's
the Caucasianification of the exotic brown person. It's what it is. It becomes the internet, in my experience, kind of going off what you're saying about the devil, is how you can't ever do anything bad. And I talked about this not that long ago in a video online where it's like we have this sin washing of things where people are so inundated with having been raised in church culture that they themselves don't realize that they have not separated from this idea that if you're bad, you're a sinner, you're going to hell. And I think when we talk about things specifically like the devil and witchcraft, is they don't realize, in my opinion, that Satan and the devil, Satan as the evangelical Bible talks about it, and the devil as witchcraft talks about it, while they are the same person, their stories are different. Your experiences with them are different, etc. And people just hear these words and they get very triggered by them. And that's a valid response. Like, religious trauma is real. But that is some inner work we have to deal with, because we don't need to, you know, purity culture wash everything to make it valid.
True. Very true. I think the,
that's my soapbox for the day.
No, you're dead on there, because it is one of those things that's, you see it, and it's almost like you don't even have to be religious to have these little nuances of things to do with good and evil, and even when it comes to the liminality of witchcraft and where we see such things between what is good and what is bad. You know, someone said to me a while back, it was like, well, that's baneful magic. I was like, why is it baneful magic? Because you're influencing the decisions of others. You're influencing the lives of others. I said, well, do you just stand in the corner and never move? I said, because I'm pretty sure every action that you do in your life influences the actions of others. Every choice that you
Helen,
make.
You and I are two peas in a pod on this subject. Maria, I can literally see her in between us going, oh gosh, here she goes, because this is a topic that I've talked about many times. even when you do something that is protection magic, you are influencing the land at which you are existing in, your physical body existing in it. Yeah. And even if someone doesn't have ill intention, but they get in the way of that, you're influencing their life.
Yeah.
No, yeah. Like under like the description of baneful magic, like protection magic is baneful magic. Like,
yeah. I have multiple different books for different kinds of magic. This black one is baneful magic. Anything that I prove successful enough goes in this one. And it's also protection magic too. That one.
Yes.
But because they are one and the same. Because most of the time, yeah, whenever I do protection magic, it's usually it's usually to repel. And so usually a return to sender. Because yeah. I never just, like, I've got a philosophy when it comes to those things. Like, if someone is using, very rarely this actually happens, obviously, but if someone is using magic against you, you don't kind of like, oh, that was bad, let me get rid of it. You send that back, and you send it back with something extra. Like, you know, it's the same way as if someone breaks into your home. If someone was to break into your home, you run at them with everything you got, screaming and shouting. Yeah. You don't kind of be like, please leave, you know. It's
pardon me. If you could not steal my stuff or yeah. hurt my family, that'd be really cool. Thanks. Excuse me.
I use that even in that kind of magic. It's that sense of almost injustice against you. That kind of like, how dare you kind of fit that thing. Just the pure audacity of it. I see that as the fire that fuels that particular kind of magic. And so
yeah.
it's, I don't believe in a half measure in regards to that. So that's why also it falls under the baneful, you know, it's maleficium. And yeah, but it's weird. It's very strange because that's one of the things is that everyone has a different concept of their practice, even if it's a similar practice. And I think that the trying to keep things away from religion as well, because religion is all of us trying to look through the same pair of eyes, which never works. But at the same time, then you're left with lots of people with different perceptions, different kinds of practice. They contradict each other. Then you put them online, and then the comment section turns into a battlefield.
And then you have the occult bros who also are online.
Yes.
Oh, goodness. So. It's one of those things where I think the biggest root of misconception when it comes to online information is being able to step outside of ourselves for a moment and remember that we are not the center of the universe and that other people are experiencing something that definitively might be the same as what we're doing, but it doesn't necessarily mean that it actually is that way in practice.
Exactly. Yeah, exactly.
I mean, even
yeah.
you take things like religions, like Catholicism, right? You take Catholicism. Well, Irish Catholicism is very similar to Mexican Catholicism. It's similar. We all read the same book. We all do the standing and the sitting and the standing and the sitting and the fucking Latin. But how it's practiced in the home, what that looks like, is very different. And I think that that's people tend to forget that, right? Is that we might be by definition doing the same thing, but it doesn't actually mean that what it looks like in the home is identical.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. I think there is that undertone of that pre-Christianization or Catholicism that everyone, like, they all go to church, they all do that same thing, like you said, but when they come home, the cultural undercurrent resumes its place. And so therefore you have these very different concepts, but they also integrate their religion, their beliefs with them, the different perspectives. It is a fascinating thing. It really is, because it's also where does individual crafts fit in then, you know? Personally, my craft I'm always trying to push my comfort zone because I believe it's important to do that. It helps growth. And one of the things that I push most of all is the concept of truth, that truth doesn't really exist. We only have this momentary present time truth, and then it's gone. A new truth replaces it, you know. And so I think humanity spends so much time looking for truth, fighting for truth, trying to get and hold truth. And it's something that doesn't really exist. It's here today, gone tomorrow. And then so therefore it's more to do with, you know, what's true to me at the moment until I know better. Because in witchcraft, we're always students. We never graduate in any way. We're constantly a student. And therefore, there's always a new truth, a new thing, a new version of ourselves that's developing, you know. And sorry, I'm waffling.
You're not waffling. I think that, I think you're 100% right.
No. But what are some of your tips on combating against misinformation?
I'm not good at that. I genuinely I don't mean to, but sometimes I'll see a video and it has to be bad. I wouldn't just go and I don't like doing that. You know that some people make the videos where they stitch or duet videos and they're like, you know nothing. And it's just people just,
you aren't as witch as me.
Yes. Yeah, how dare you try to outwitch me?
I am actually the top. I'm the supreme. So actually, every video I do is the correct one. So Elwyn's actually misdirecting you guys here in a conversation about misdirection because I am actually the only correct one on the internet. Continue.
But it's sometimes very particular. Every now and again, there'll be a video. Someone will say something that is just everyone who even dips their toe into witchcraft knows that that's not right. They're leading people way out in a different direction. I will make a video being like, and trying to be as respectful as I can, just be like, what the fuck are you talking about? And why are you doing that? You know, and people seem to get enjoyment from that. But at the same time, I think that's important because if no one gets called out for doing those, saying those ridiculous things, then it just encourages more and more people to say ridiculous things that they have no real verification of. They haven't done any research about, you know, they just decide, yeah, that's that. Or they heard it from someone else. It can get out of hand really quickly.
Yeah.
Really quickly.
The internet is so cool.
Yeah, it really is.
I really think the biggest bit of misinformation that goes around a lot is that how one person practice is like the say all do all. And they'll go online and be like, you all are doing it wrong. You're doing it wrong, actually, because this is how I do it. And it's 100% right. You all are wrong. We see that all
you
the time.
You guys wouldn't understand. I woke up and decided that I actually knew everything. And so, therefore, you're wrong. I'm right. And look at my fancy sword.
Look at my fancy sword.
Listen, the fact of the matter is that I think that a lot of people, and this is, I'm going to say this, and I want you guys to take it for how I mean it. I'm not trying to take digs, but I think that a lot of people lack the, a lot of people who come online and say things as matter of fact statements lack the depth to understand how much nuance is behind these things. And they don't, it's less listening and more just talking and talking over people and being fear mongers for clicks. And I don't know. It's a lot. It's a lot of like, hey, chill out. And you notice those people who make that content, they usually don't last more than a season.
It's true.
Maybe a year, maybe two. And then they're gone because they've run out of fear mongery. Silly little posts to do. There's no actual depth there. There's no substance. There's no faith. There's no belief there.
Yeah. That's the thing. I accidentally did a video like that. And it wasn't, but it got taken like that where it was cord cutting. And the amount of cord cuttings drive me wild. And so I was like, here, look, I'll show you how you do a cord cutting, how I was taught. And I said how I was taught how to do a cord cutting. And so
Which
you get the two candles and you know, but I said, what you need is a pair of iron scissors like these, you know, like the old school scissors, a pair of iron scissors.
Very familiar, yes.
And someone said, someone in the comments, it started off with just one comment that went, why does it have to be iron scissors? And I was, that was it. And I was like, well, I'm going to answer that. Before I even had a chance, people were stitching. It was like, he sent us to use iron scissors, like we can afford iron scissors. I was like, your nails look very nice. I noticed you're holding a Starbucks coffee. How much do you think iron scissors cost? They cost less than a fucking Starbucks. Like,
iron scissors. You can get iron scissors today off of Amazon.com for like $4.50.
I got mine for $5, an iron pair of scissors. I got them at, and that was from an antique shop. I just saw them in a basket. I was like, they're lovely. But people were like, stop telling us what to do. What do you mean, stop telling you what to, like, you don't have, like, use, and someone said, I just use scissors from the dollar store. And I was like, that's great. And then another person went, I don't use fancy scissors, but I have a pair of sewing scissors my grandmother used to use for certain kinds of witchcraft. I went,
that's incredibly fancy. What are you talking about?
That's a very specific pair of scissors. But the idea was,
sewing scissors are some of the most expensive scissors on the market.
Exactly. It made no sense to me. And so I made another video and I was like, listen, the reason why I say iron, I said, is because there is a spirit to iron. Someone's made those iron scissors with their hand. They used iron. They used sheer will. It is a symbolism of your determination and will to turn stone into metal and to shape it, sharpen it into an implement that cuts and severs. I said, you can go to the dollar store and get a pair of scissors from there. But the problem is those scissors have been made by a machine. They haven't even a pair of hands hasn't even touched them. They get wrapped in plastic, then they get shipped out. I said, so the idea is the same as the ingredient behind it. It's what it means to you and the spirit that it holds.
I think, because we've talked about this a few times on the podcast when it talks about iron specifically, exactly what you just said, taking some stone and making it into a pliable metal thing. But simultaneously, when we talk about it in terms of like a historical thing, the Iron Age was one of our first metalled ages, and the Iron Age was taking stone, making it into something we could defend and fight with. This was a revolutionary thing. It's some of the oldest form of verifiable magic that we have in textbooks. So why are we arguing about this? If you don't want to use iron, don't use iron, but you can't deny the like 10,000 year history that iron has in terms of a magical sense. Yeah.
Exactly.
Well, and not to mention, you literally said this is what works for me.
Yeah, I know. It's such. But that's the thing. I think with the internet,
and that's why I don't use TikTok.
That's the thing. If people want to, they will decide that they're going to disagree with you, and then they'll find the reason why later.
Absolutely.
And it's got to the point now, honestly, the block button is my best friend. I don't do it anymore. Someone starts starting stuff and I just block. I'm done. I can't be bothered. If you don't like it, you disagree. Great. Fantastic. But yeah, it's just unnecessary. You know what I mean? It's just unnecessary. I think that's the thing. And I'll be honest with you, this is right. But one of the biggest problems for me is two things. One, men who are practitioners are some of the worst. Not all of them, okay, before anyone comes for me. But the ego. No,
this is, again, the right podcast, because I'm the first person to talk about the Occult Bros TM group. Fucking hate them.
Well, for some reason, the ego gets this kind of shot of steroids when they start to practice witchcraft. I don't know. I think for myself, to be honest, I've raised by women. I have three daughters, and my wife are like me and that cat. We're the only guys here. And so we know our place and we stay well out of the way and we do what we need to do. And so therefore it's never been a thing for me, but I see so many male practitioners go off on this pontification thing and ego, and it's very weird for me to witness. And then again, there are other things that, you know, on the other side of things, of course, being a male witch there are times that people say, you can't be a witch. What? You can't be a witch, you're a man. Yeah. Oh, I didn't realize that. That's what that is. You know, it's just so, it's
me?
You know what I mean? We have to fit into this very niche thing, and it's like certain people just can't. I don't understand, because these people who call themselves witches don't have the scope or the vision to put, or a man, or, you know, it's, and it's like you're supposed to be a witch, and yet you don't have the expansive thought to conceptualize that someone of a different gender could be a witch, or someone that could. It drives me wild. Like, I find it very odd, and that's one of the things where I think that I've said this before, and it sounds really bad. But when it comes to witchcraft, some people have that natural ability in witchcraft, and some people, they have to really study for it. Now, that's not in any way saying elitism or one is better than the other, because I've known people who have naturally adept at witchcraft. They have the knack, the cunning for it, and they have been surpassed by people who have had no natural ability, because they've taken it for granted. But it's one of those things that some people, it's like, to apply cunning to things, you have to look at it from completely different angles and see it through the eyes of a witch. How could that be used? What are the virtues of it? What are the two polarities of this? And what does it mean? Mm-hmm. You know, we often look at things and we assess what they are. You know, how could that be a threat? How could that be a help to us? How, you know, what does it mean? And I think so many people, they don't do that. They just take it at face value. They take everything at face value. And those are the people who spread misinformation. They do, oh, someone told me this, I'll go and tell that person now, you know. And that can be really, really damaging. Really do. Sorry, I'm having a massive rant. I'm sorry.
No, I think you're 100% right. And I think that there's not enough of a conversation kind of going off that, not enough of a conversation how, because there isn't a doctrine that witches follow as a rule, right? That a lot of people, not just men, occult bros, TM, not just them, but a lot of people will use witchcraft in online spaces to fuel their ego and to be someone. And the thing is, at the end of the day, we're all content creators. We love attention. We just do. I don't care what way you cut it. If we didn't love attention, we'd stop making videos, right? And I don't think there's anything wrong with liking attention. But there is a really big difference between liking attention because of who we are as people, and we like to share information, or we like to make people laugh, or whatever, right? And there's a difference between that and liking attention because it fuels the ego. And when the fuel is ego, that's when you start getting the whole, I heard this from somebody, and so therefore it's a fact, and I'm going to state it as such, and I'm going to create drama, I'm going to create issues. And I think that that's the really big difference in terms of the types of content that we can find on the internet.
Definitely. Yeah, I agree.
I will say, this has been an amazing conversation. I'm really glad that you joined us for this, because this has been great.
Yeah, it has.
Thank you. Will you do us the kindness of telling our listeners where they can find you, any services you offer, etc.? This will all be in the caption, but I still would like it to come out of your mouth.
Sure. I you can find me on TikTok, Instagram, where else? I don't know. Oh, I'm on YouTube. Should say that one. Also, I have a website and a patronage for people who want to learn. It's not learning as such my witchcraft, but it helps to encourage you to find your witchcraft. That's the best way I can put it.
Sure.
Because there's a lot of lovely people, and we're all learning together. And so you can ask a question in the Discord on the patronage, and someone will answer, you know. We have one of those, and the antlercrown.com, which is my website, where I offer readings, and primarily readings at the moment, sigil work as well, and there's a whole thing of bone readings, tarot readings, and all manner of things like that there.
Awesome. Thank you again for joining us. Yeah. This has been so amazing. This has been a great chat.
Thank you.
So, Robin, what is stirring your cauldron this week?
Thank you so much for asking.
Oh, you're so welcome.
What is stirring my cauldron this week is I announced that I'm working towards my next manuscript and that it's going to be self-published. And I've been opening up more online just about like death magic. I know I talk about it like on the Patreon a lot. I did a whole Death Witch series. I did herbs of death work. And like plants of death work focus, but I haven't really talked about it too much online because people, especially when you talk about like necromancy, because that's what it is. Mm-hmm. It's necromancy. They are very triggered by that word. And I get it. The satanic panic like ruined all of us. It made us all a little uncomfortable with words. And I understand that, but I've been opening up a little bit more about it. And I've had a really great response that I wasn't expecting. And it's made me feel really confident about stuff and I'm excited and I don't know. I'm really jazzed. I reopened up subscriptions on Instagram where I'm doing like just kind of showing insight to the writing process and giving insight to like research and the things that I'm working on in terms of the actual production process, because this is all going to be new for me. My plan is to, when I feel confident by each like section of the book, to open up ARC reading to my subscribers for like their thoughts and feedback. Because realistically, this is a book topic that I don't feel has been written about very much. And I want to make sure I'm covering all the things that people would like to see. That their questions are being answered. So that's why I'm going to do these kind of like advanced reader copies for sections of the book, because I really want people to give honest feedback of this part was I didn't feel like it was necessary, or I'd really like you to go farther in on this. That way when people do get the book, it's as well-rounded as I think it can be, because this is also probably going to be my last witchcraft book.
Yeah.
I don't see myself writing another witchcraft book after this, which is crazy.
Well, then this is going to be your big baby.
This is going to be, and I want it to be perfect. So, I feel really good about it. And I am very warmed by the response.
I'm very excited for you. It's going to be so good. And you get to do it your way. And get to name your book.
This is a big part of why I'm self-publishing it, is because in my previous experience, my language was changed in books without my consent that I 100% didn't agree with. Parts of my books had been just removed, and then people were like, I really wish you had gone over this. And it's like, me too. And I understand that publishers don't have the same like intimate investment in things like spiritual topics. But quite frankly, if this is going to be my last baby, I want to make sure that it's completely covering every single thing that I wanted to cover and not get cut because of a word or page count budget cuts. I'd rather just be really transparent. Hey, this is what this cost me, because I plan on doing a Kickstarter for it. So I can like hire a editor, and I want to have special editions of the books that are hardbound and like nice. And so I'd rather just be really honest about how much everything is going to cost up front and give people the option and have like the paperback version as well that anybody can have. And it just be like a really open and honest process, and I get to keep everything in my book that I want to have in my book, versus, you know, people just outright changing my language or saying, I don't like this section, cut. You know, little things like that.
Yeah.
I also realized in looking back at Magical Tarot, which never dawned on me before, I can't believe I missed it. The dedication to my husband removed. Mm-hmm. I never noticed. Yeah.
What?
The dedication was to my brother as a joke because he asked for me to dedicate the book to him. And mm-hmm. then there was two parts of the dedication. There was the dedication to Austin, and then the second part where I call Frank Chip and I say, you know, mm-hmm. without you, I'm nothing.
Mm-hmm.
They just cut it. And it never clicked on me that they removed it.
Oh,
they just got rid of it.
Frustrating.
They got rid of my dedication to my spouse. So this is why I'm choosing to self-publish. And I think a lot of people have very misconstrued understandings of the author process, and that's not their fault.
Mm-hmm.
We have people like J.K. Rowling, who's this billionaire, right, who is also an author, who I'm not even going to get into her problematic nature, but that is a lot of millennials, especially, big understanding of authors. J.K. Rowling, what's his name? Stephen King. These are huge faces that have gone on to make movies and are novels, and they think that authors have all this control because those people do. But that is mm-hmm. actually not the case. I didn't even get to pick the title of my last book. So,
no.
Anyway, I don't want to get too much on a soapbox, but that's why I'm choosing to self-publish, and I've been very excited about the response preliminarily, and I'm excited to proceed forward.
I'm excited for you. It's going to be so good.
Yeah, I'm very jazzed. So anyway.
You should be.
So Maria, what's monster?
Thank you for seducing me. I appreciate it.
You're welcome.
It.
I'm out here giving people boners. You're welcome.
So, I was just thinking. Right now, I'm working on a, autumn witchery article for our Patreon. And while I was, starting it and writing and all that, I had practical magic on, and I was just thinking, I know practical magic too, they're apparently going to be filming it or whatever, but there really hasn't been any great witch movies that have come out lately.
No.
You know, not what like 90s. About?
There was that tarot movie.
But you know, comforting one. And yeah. It's not all Disney-fied, because I feel a lot of movies have been Disney-fied, where everyone is so well put together and the houses aren't really representative of being a witch or whatever, you know, not 90s practical magic where it was I have kind of a sweet spot for 90s comfy cozy movies, because
she's
I think
old
the 90s
that's what she's telling
right.
you guys. she's old
I am old. But it's just, I don't know, it's kind of sad because we don't have we had The Craft 2 come out, but that wasn't really any good.
That was shit. Sorry, that was a shit film. Maria and I were both given because it was during COVID. Mm-hmm. We were both done. What was that called? They gave us PR boxes and we got to watch it early and we had to live post about it.
Oh, that was you. I didn't get one.
Oh, you didn't get that? Oh, I got that. That was fun. I got to live tweet about it, and I got to watch it, the premiere early, and I got a big box. Mm-hmm. And, it was really fun, and the mm-hmm. movie was cute. It was a really cute film.
It was Disney-fied. It was Disney-fied.
But it was Disney-fied. Yeah, it was massively Disney-fied. I don't know. It wasn't very good.
Yeah. I don't know. 90s always, had a way of, putting, the nitty-gritty in shows and it not be, Disney-esque. We still had,
It's because we have an overproduction of CGI.
We do! I mean, we saw that in, the new Hocus Pocus with the CGI, with the full moon, just that was the size of, Like, that moon was so close during the entire show, and it, like, never
changed position. What are you talking about?
It was terrible.
What are you trying to say right now? I think that it was perfect. That's exactly how moons look.
And, like, once again, well, you know, Hocus Pocus was a Disney movie, but they, like, Disney-fied it even more for the second one, where it was very, like, there was nothing nitty-gritty in it, and... they didn't even film it in Salem. And I don't know. There's just no good witch movies anymore. There's none.
Yeah.
And it's so sad. Oh, no.
Also, I did find it a little silly that in the first Hocus Pocus, the house was, like, in the woods, abandoned. And then in the second one, it's somehow an entire city has been built around that.
Yeah, because they didn't film in Salem.
Right. But that's what I mean. Like, that's a huge plot hole that makes no fucking sense.
No sense whatsoever. And you can tell, like, in Hocus Pocus 2, how all the buildings surrounding that building are old. They're not,
like,
new
that's
buildings.
What I'm saying, like, it doesn't make sense. And in the original, it's like in a park that's like a protected thing. It's like it's a historic building, and they're just like, let's put a business in it. It doesn't make any sense. Anyway,
no,
here we go again.
Oh no, this is part of my, like, it's not stirring my cauldron. Like, we just need a
it
good
doesn't
witch
make sense. It just doesn't make sense.
If you're going to do a sequel, you better remain close to the source material, because people aren't going to be happy. And that's why, like, I have zero high hopes for Practical Magic 2, just because it is going to be a sequel, but I doubt it's going to be as nitty gritty. And I bet, you know, it's going to be.
Do you know if they signed on the same actors?
Yeah, they still have Nicole Kidman and Sandra Bullock coming back.
Okay, that's good.
But I don't know about the aunts, because they're both way older now than what they were, like, you know.
Well, I hate to be this guy. I hate to be this guy, babe, but so are Sandra Bullock and...
I know. But, you know, so many actors, like, retire and stuff, so who knows if the aunts will be coming back. Like, is it going to revolve around, like, the aunts.
Well, but also, like, there's been 30 years since the films, and the aunts in the films were meant to be in their 50s or 60s, so it wouldn't be out of pocket for them to just be deceased.
Yeah. Well, if you pay attention in the movie, they literally say that the aunts don't age, so who knows how old
they
are.
That's true! Okay, touche. Well, they also, remember in The Irishman, when they, like, made Robert De Niro young, maybe they could do something like that. I don't know.
Oh, yeah. That's smart. Some more CGI.
Let's put some more CGI. Let's Disney-fy this film.
Look, all I'm saying, if Nicole Kidman lifts up a finger and, like, sparks come out of it, or, like, some, like, glowy neon stuff, I'm turning off the movie and I am not watching it.
Yeah.
Or if they get a Love and Light witch to do, like, the
namaste
to consult for the film, I'm done.
You need to talk to us.
Yes.
Dear Fox, 21st Century Fox, Murray and I would like to be consulted for this film. Please don't ask the same people who did The Craft 2. Please, I'm begging you. Don't. It was not good.
No.
Oh, Lord. Okay. All right. I'm not going to shit talk any more people. Let's end this segment. All right. If you've just joined us this week, every week we talk about creators that we are loving right now. This can be artists, businesses, books, podcasters, whatever. These are not ads. This is just stuff Maria and I like and we think is pretty cool. And maybe you'll like it too. Maybe you won't. I don't know. Just check it out. We also are taking listener submissions So we do have a third option now. So if you have found somebody that you think is pretty neato and you want us to share it because you think everybody else will think it's neato, please DM us, email us, send us someone.
Yeah, please.
That being said, Maria, Angel, Doll, love of my life, please, who are you listening or loving right now? I'm not listening. Who are you loving right now?
I am loving the Instagram Katrin.Vates. Like, they do like cross stitching in a way that looks like a realistic like garden. It's so interesting and so beautiful, just like the landscapes that they do like via cross stitching. It's insane and just like beautifully well done. Like, I'm not the type of person to be like, I would love to have a cross stitch up on my wall. Like that has rarely, you know, passed my mind besides maybe some witchy ones, but this one is like so gorgeous and so beautiful. And just the tools that, not tools, but the methods that they use in order to create like volume on the cross stitch is just insane. Like, it's so stunning. Like 10 out of 10. But who are you loving?
Did you see that?
No.
My son's underwear drawer just flew out of its little thing. I'm not even joking. Welcome to living in a witch's house. sheesh. Okay. Who am I loving right now? I'm loving Abigail Penner. I hope I am saying that correctly. She is an illustrator and does these really cute cupies. So I know nobody is going to be shocked that I said that. But she does, I think she does tattoos. I could be wrong about that part of it. But I think it's really, really cute illustrations to the point I even emailed her and was like, what if you did a Cupie-themed tarot deck? What would that be like? She did not respond to me, which, you know what, valid queen. But I think that her style is really beautiful. It uses minimal color play, and the color palettes that she uses is incredible. Just chef's kiss.
Mm-hmm.
Our listener submission this week is a Instagram and company called Firefly Bazaar Texas, TX. And she does these blankets that are really neat. Specifically, the blankets in question is what was sent to us. So the blankets specifically. But they're like spooky and cute and cozy, a little quilt moment, if you will.
Yeah.
They aren't actually quilts, I don't think, but they're quilt adjacent.
Yeah, they have very like cute. Very, yeah, I love the robes that they have.
Yeah. Like, specifically, the blanket is what was sent to us, but the robes are very cute too. I'm 10 out of 10.
Yeah, they are. Yeah. I like this.
Yeah. So if you have somebody that you want to send us, shoot us a DM, shoot us an email. We would love to see who you're loving right now so that we can share with everyone.
Yeah.
Thank you all so much for joining us this week. We hope to see you again on Friday, August 30th for our Coffee Talk episode and Twitch stream. Or on September 6th for our 13th episode of Season 5. You can keep an eye out on our social media or head to our website, coffeeandcauldrons.com, to find out more information and see what we are up to. And don't forget to join us August 31st at 12 p.m. Pacific Standard Time for our latest class with Samantha Weisberg on creative writing through mythology.
And additionally, you can join us on Patreon, Magical Beginnings, which offers our special 25-minute part 2 episode, a huge library of articles about witchcraft, and Autumn 1 is going to be dropping soon, so it's going to be a hefty boy, like full of spells and things to do, correspondences, tarot spreads, like it should have the works, like I am definitely working on it. And then we have a Discord community, and it's not only do we have a community, but like, we have a ton of fun events and things going on all the time during the month, like so many things. And we have a tier that offers
literally so many things.
Yeah. And we even have a tier that offers one-on-one conversations with Robin and myself.
Yeah. Please do, if you are loving our sexy, sensual chef's kiss voice, take a moment to review us whatever streaming service that you are listening in from. That might be Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or something else. We love reading your reviews, and rating us with 5 stars helps us to be seen by others. But honestly, just rating us at all continues to keep the rating engagement up and gets us to be seen. So it's okay if you want to be honest. Thank you to everybody who has already rated us and everybody who will in the future. And thank you to all of our Patreon members. Truly, without you guys, the podcast, the community, everything would not be possible. So we really, really appreciate it.
And again, this is Coffee and Cauldrons.
With Robin from At a Tired Witch
Everywhere. And I'm Maria from At Maria the Arcane Everywhere. Yeah.
You ready?
Yeah, let's do it. One.
Two.
Three.